Welcome to A Teaspoon of Healing. I'm your host, Dawn Damari. Hi, I'm Dawn Damari, and you're listening to another episode of A Teaspoon of Healing. Today, I have a guest with me, Lynn Abate Johnson. She's returning to the podcast. Lynn is a speaker, a two-time international best-selling author, and a global community builder. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Dawn. Thanks for having me back. How fun.
How fun it is to have you back. Thank you so much for joining me again on the Teaspoon of Healing. And how has your day been?
It's been great. It's been, you know, full. The days are full.
The days are full.
How about you?
I hear you.
All good with you?
Yeah, same thing. Very full day. Yeah. Every day is full. And I'm not complaining.
Exactly.
Good to have you here. So do you mind telling our listeners a little bit about your background, just refreshing everyone about what you do, what your background is?
Sure. Let's see, how far back do you want to go? Well, I was born in Detroit, Michigan. I'm the oldest of five children, so definitely have some of those stereotypical firstborn qualities. I love to speak and train and teach and consult conscious businesses on how to show up in the world so that we can have a bigger impact. And I really believe that these days we are craving more connection than ever before. And so the courses that I teach and the one-on-ones that I do in consulting really are all wrapped around what I call show up you. It's actually a hashtag, show up you, Y-O-U. I've written two books. The second one just came out, and I'm a co-author of the second one. It's called Voices of the 21st Century, Women Empowered Through Passion and Purpose. And so I'm super on fire about that book because this book is not just me. My first book was a solo book. And I know you remember because we talked a lot about Out of Love. Out of Love, A Daughter's Journey with Her Mom to the End. And this book is kind of a love letter for family caregivers, right? And I wrote it out of my experience of going through my mom's ovarian cancer diagnosis and then her eventual death in 2017. It was really pleasure. And it's that paradox of when you're writing something for other people to hopefully be empowered by and learn from. It was a pleasure. And it was also horrible at times writing about my whole experience of going through the cancer journey with my mom. And also the same thing with this new book, which is also an international bestseller, which is that I told a story in this new book. I have one chapter and it's a story that I've never told anyone. And I've never talked about it in public because I was previously very ashamed and embarrassed.
Oh, so you were ashamed and embarrassed. Well, you shouldn't be, but
yeah,
you're amazing. But I understand that. I understand that feeling a lot. So I get it.
Yeah.
And so this book has just, you said it's just coming out now.
Yes. So we just had a big, you know, pre-order and a celebration of that because it hit all of these categories on the international bestseller list, including women's history and diversity and equity. There are 44 authors and they're from all over the world. Five of them are from Australia, three of them from Bermuda, a bunch of Canadians. And it's a very and diverse group of women that I never would have met otherwise. And I'm getting to know them and love them through the chapters that they wrote because it's all nonfiction. And so everybody's telling a little story about a part of their life that really may have been challenging and difficult, but then how they overcame and became more resilient through it.
So the book is called Voices of the 21st Century, Woman Empowered Through Passion and Purpose. It's a great book, a great name for a book. And so your chapter, would you mind sharing a little bit about what the gist of it was?
The gist of it is I've talked about a time in my life that I experienced abuse in a relationship. And, you know, at the time I was younger, I was in my 20s, and I used to think that, you know, the old Tammy Wynette song, Stand By Your Man, I used to buy into that, like, oh, and I didn't really understand what love was. And you know, I don't know if it was from my upbringing or from cultural paradigms that were imposed on me my whole life, but I just thought that, you know, I was supposed to be in that situation and that I couldn't leave. And so it was very, very traumatic, I guess you would say. And on the other end of it, you know, I got help, which I think is something that was always difficult for me previously, is to ask for help and get help.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people, a lot of women will resonate with it, men as well, but we're speaking about women. So in this book, you're speaking about women, and that's what we're talking about right now. But so many women go through that. I had the same thing in my early 20s. I had an abusive ex-boyfriend, and it's really, I can see why you said that you had felt a little bit shame. When you had mentioned that, I wondered what you were talking about. And now I assume it's this. And yeah, I felt that too. I always felt like it was my fault. I felt like also it is hard to leave. It's hard to leave because you feel so disempowered and beaten down, and to stand by your man, you know? And it's, yeah, I'm glad that you unlearned that and got help. And I'm glad I did too. I'm glad. Yeah. Thank you for bringing it up. It's, you know, so many people go through this, unfortunately.
So many people.
Unfortunately.
And here's the thing, Dawn, is that people see us showing up, right, online, sometimes on the screen, sometimes on audio. And, you know, usually when we're showing up that way, we sound like we have it all together. And we have appearances like, oh, you know, we've got it all figured out. We've got it together. And so I always say, you know, people would probably never guess this about me, that this actual scenario happened, if they're looking at me today. So it's really part of what helped make me who I am today, and what has me so compelled to get more courageous and get more brave with my voice. And I have to practice what I preach, because I teach show up you, right, authentically. And so now more than ever, I'm doing that.
And do you have any advice for a woman right now? There might be a woman even listening to this who is stuck in a relationship like that. What advice do you have for her?
It's actually the same advice that I gave, you know, through my first book when I was a family caregiver. And that is, talk about it, ask for help, get together, get a circle around you of supported people, people that you trust. But sometimes the most unlikely advocates come from people that you don't really know that well. And what I found is that when we start to open up to people, even strangers sometimes, if we feel comfortable, those strangers will come in and just, they swoop in and they hold you. Like, they hold you metaphorically, you know, and in all different ways. You know, they listen to you, they hold space for you, they hold a bigger vision for you when maybe you can't do it yourself yet, but these people can, because maybe they're on the other side of a situation that's similar. And we never know who that is that we might meet at the coffee shop, for example. So I really advise people to open up a little bit more than you have before, and ask for help, tell your story in a way that feels comfortable and appropriate, or maybe even not comfortable. Maybe we need to get uncomfortable more than we did before.
I like that. I really like that. And you had said something, you never know who you're going to meet at the coffee shop. You never know who can help you, and you never know what other people have gone through, and they might be on the other side of that. And it is really hard, though. It is really hard when you're in that space to be able to trust, to be able to speak out. Because like you said, there is a lot of shame, unfortunately. And there honestly shouldn't be, because you're not at fault when you're a victim like that. But that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, people are people. My mom always taught me, you know, people are people, and you never know what people are going through. And I think that these days, again, especially because we're all feeling a little bit or a lot disconnected, that we need to bring our humanity through. And yes. And the only way we can really do that effectively is through our stories, and not a story like, oh, this happened and then that happened and I was a victim and no, it's more like, here's where I am now. Here's where I came from and here's how I got help, or here's how I came through it. And here's what I think now, or here's my perspective now. Because even with my first book, that was completely about my perspective looking back on my caregiving years with my mom. And that's why I wrote it, so that I could help other family caregivers understand all of those things that a lot of times we shy away from, we don't talk about. So I really felt the need, and I was, again, compelled to say, here's what happened, and here's what I've noticed since then. And you're going to be okay, by the way. Like, my big mission is to let people, especially women, know that they're not alone. And so that's been a real gift through all of this.
I love that. I love that. Now, on the topic of women, you had mentioned, and actually, and I had forgotten about this, that March is Women's History Month, correct?
It's International Women's History Month. That happens every year.
That's right.
International Women's History Month. Or we should say Women's Herstory Month. Story. It's her story. And where we've been and where we're going. And, you know, I mean, there is nothing that compares to women gathering and being together and causing or generating more love, more connection, more community. And I'm here for all of that.
Me too. I love that. Now, how can we celebrate ourselves as women?
You know, to tell you the truth, Dawn, I love this question because I was not very good at this before.
Yes.
And when my first book came out, I just took it for granted that, oh yeah, you know, I'm an international best-selling author. And of course I wrote this book. There was no choice for me to not write this book, to go out to family caregivers. Just like when I agreed to write the chapter in this new book, which is written, I like to say, by women, for women, and the men who love us. So I think that celebration is a really big element in acknowledging our achievements, acknowledging those things that we take for granted, which many of us do, because we are used to just, you know, boom, 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 powering through things and making accomplishments and making things happen. And so I think the gift that we can give ourselves and other women and the generations of women and girls who are coming up is that we really learn how to acknowledge ourselves in all the ways that we feel good about doing. You know, some women, you know, they love to celebrate with food and cooking a special meal or going to a special restaurant. Some women, like, I love to go to the beach. I love to go roller skating. And so I'll go out to the beach and I'll put my skates on and I'll roller skate up and down the strand and have some music playing. I also celebrate with music because I have favorite music that I love. And I'm like the queen of playlists. And so back when my first book came out, I was working with my coach at the time, and she said, you know, Lynn, this is a really big accomplishment. How are you going to celebrate? And I was dumbfounded. I didn't have any answer for her of how I was going to celebrate. And so she really caused me to think about, wow, I guess this is a big deal. And so I made it a point, you know, light a candle, play the music, dance around the house, go to the beach, go for a walk, all of those things, or have a little party and have the people that you love come around and celebrate you in that way. So yeah, those are some ways that I love to celebrate. And I really encourage women to start doing that if you're not already, because we do accomplish a lot. And often it's not even noticed unless we speak up about it. So I think it's part of being our authentic selves.
I love that. And is there anything that we should unlearn as women? You know, there's been a lot of things that we have been told, this is how we should celebrate being a woman. This is what we should do. Is there anything that we should unlearn when we're celebrating ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's important to look at those paradigms and those kinds of legacy kind of lessons that came up with us from our childhood, from the day we were born all the way through our formative years. And I think that part of it is to, well, part of it for me was to keep your personal life separate from your business life. And one of the things that I'm up to right now, even on LinkedIn, which can be a very dry platform, right, for B2B, business to business. And, you know, people sometimes, the old thinking, I believe, on LinkedIn is that you only show up as your best self and with your business propositions and, you know, all of that. I mean, I'm a marketer. I get it. All the buzzwords, all the lingo, all the language. And I don't think it's that anymore. I think that we really need to look at all of these platforms as a way for us to reach out through the screen, through the keyboard, and connect with people in more raw and real ways. Because I'll tell you, I've posted about, you know, my experience with my mom and my book and the stories, some of the stories that I've told. And I can't tell you the number of people, men and women alike, who are in high level positions, and you see their titles on LinkedIn, and they come in and they go, oh yeah, like my kid has been sick and we were afraid they were going to die, or my kid got in a motorcycle accident, or my mom has Alzheimer's. And so people start to reveal, as we start to reveal and we open up, other people feel like they have permission to do the same thing. So that is a key for me these days, is to what I do, what I call humanize LinkedIn, humanize LinkedIn.
I like that. So say you're somebody who wants to connect more, and through social media, you want to connect more with people all over the world, but you want to be more authentic and you're a little shy or hesitant to do it. Do you have any tips to get started?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. So I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, and you know, we are human and we get to choose how much we share with people. Mm-hmm. So I would dip the toe in the water a little bit. And I would just say, you know, I mean, people feel more comfortable sometimes talking about their pets, mm-hmm. right? And so I would just dip the toe in the water a little bit and talk about a pet, or talk about a hobby that you have. Like if you love to cook, you share a photo of what you cooked and how you did it, and if it was hard or if it was easy, and if you had any challenges with it. So you see, you can bring those human aspects into any conversation. If you love to garden and you did a great job and you grew some amazing produce, you know, in one season, but then maybe you had a fail and you had a crop that just didn't come up the way that you wanted it. On social media, especially, I love it because, you know, you can share that kind of stuff, and then people will come in and they'll feel like gardeners, or people who are foodies and cook, or people who have pets. They will all come in and they will give their opinion and they will give you advice and help you with ideas. And it's just amazing. So I say, we use tools like social media instead of letting social media use us.
I really like that. Using social media rather than letting it use us, because it does seem like it's been the latter often, but I really, really like everything you said for people who are hesitant. You know, pets are a great thing, cooking or hobbies, and just showing up authentically, because that's, I think that's what really what people want, rather than seeing everything, you know, perfectly curated, perfectly, you know, influenced or whatever it is. They want to see real because they just want to connect with other people. Maybe it's because of all those years that we couldn't connect in real life. Now people really want to connect, I think much more. And I think these tools are great. When they really can be great for stuff like this. We talk a lot about the negatives of it. There's many negatives. There are many negatives, but there are so many positives.
Yes.
They really are.
Social media can be just a train wreck, right? Yeah. I'll watch my potty mouth right now, but it can be a train wreck. And I've chosen to use it to my advantage, not the train wreck part, but the part where I'm connecting with people on a deeper level. And then I meet people in real life, or I don't want to say real life, it's all real life, but I meet people in person. And when I meet people in person, it's just the greatest joy that I have is to meet someone in person that I've known online for a while. And I do have, I'm so fortunate to have several of those people who I've met, even overseas in Australia, who I originally met on one platform, and then I get to meet them in person, and just, it makes my heart so happy. We already feel like we know each other.
That's true. I've had that too, where I've met people that I, in person, that I've met online, and it seems to really have worked well, because we really, when you're able to share from that authentic space.
Yes. Right. And talk about a teaspoon of healing. I mean, it's like one teaspoon at a time, right? And we as human beings, we are in charge of how much we show up and how much we don't show up, what we say, what we don't say. And I think that when we reach out, like you and I connected, and then we keep in touch over the years, it really makes a difference. And I think that it's, that's the piece that I really believe can help heal our world. And the only way that can happen is if we heal ourselves.
Absolutely.
So I'm such an empath, and I feel so much of what's going on in the world today. And, you know, sometimes I don't feel like celebrating. Mm-hmm. How can I celebrate in the face of everything that I see going on? And yet we must. It's the great paradox. And we're human. And so we must find the joy amidst the trauma and the tragedy that we see, because that brings our humanity into those situations. And that helps other people have permission to do the same.
I really like that, because it can be really hard. You know, when you see everything that's going on, it's so heartbreaking, so many things. And yet sometimes I don't know about you, I'll feel guilty. Like if I'm celebrating or
absolutely
really joyful, but you know what? I shouldn't. I should not feel that. We shouldn't. This is the essence of life and connecting with people and humanity. And that's how things hopefully will change.
Yes.
Hopefully will change worldwide, because I do feel like we're kind of at a crossroads as a society, but let's just hope things go start to get a little better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why, but I still have hope myself.
Me like, too.
In the face of everything else, I still have hope. There's some glimmer of hope that comes through. And I am no longer that Pollyanna person that I used to be that says, oh, just positive mental attitude, or just smile. No, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
And guess what? It never worked.
It didn't. I was like that too. It's great to be love and light, but it's not always going to be that way.
Yeah.
And some people have it much harder, you know, and you can't keep saying that to someone. It's, what is it called? Spiritual bypassing, I think, is the word for it.
Yes.
It really is. So
yes.
Yeah. Great to be positive, but yeah, you really got to watch that.
Definitely.
Now, you had mentioned something about healing, and a lot of guests come on the show to share their personal stories of healing or transformation. And I know you have helped people as a leader, you've helped people. So what kind of transformation would you like to, have you gone through, or something that you would like to share with the listeners?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so much. I've already outed myself of all of the different ways that I used to be somewhat dysfunctional. I used to be that toxically positive person. I used to kind of let people walk all over me because I would say yes when I wanted to say no. When I knew I needed to say no, but I said yes anyway because I wanted people to like me. I would never contradict somebody that I thought was in a position above me, like superior to me. And I know during my mom's cancer journey, you know, my mom revered the doctors, especially the male doctors. And so I never realized how toxic that was too, to the point where I write about this in Out of Love, my first book, that I just shot my nervous system to smithereens. I shot my nervous system to smithereens, and it took me years before I actually, I realized it. And it was kind of while I was writing the book that I realized it. And then I started finding people that could help me heal. Like I had packed on 60 pounds and I, you know, there was no way I was going to start doing anything different to help myself heal from all of the issues that came along with being morbidly obese, but I found a nutritionist, right? And then I found a Pilates coach. And little by little, I mean, I could only do so much at a time because I was so, my health was so horrible. So I just did little 20-minute increments, for example, at a time of Pilates, for example. And over the years, it's really been amazing to, even for me, to see how I've transformed my life and still continue to, because I'm still working with these experts to help me, you know, especially as I get older now, right? So there's the aging thing that's coming into play too for me. And I really love that I have a team of people that I can go to because I don't know the answers. I only have questions. And so one of the biggest pieces of my transformational journey as a leader has been to be more curious and to pause when I don't know something or I can't figure something out, just to pause and not have to be like going at everything 110% all the time. Just like step back for a second. So yeah, that's helped a lot.
That's very powerful to being able to pause and step back, especially can help when it can help things become less heated too. It can stop arguments and it can just stop a lot of things. I've had to learn that too, for sure.
Yeah. And just kind of getting curious, you know, like instead of thinking, oh, blah, 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 that happened. That should not have happened. I've removed the word should from my vocabulary, which has been so liberating. And then just get curious, like, oh, I wonder what's going on over there. Or I wonder why that person thinks that. And that can open up more compassionate dialogue.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely does. Now, tell our listeners a little bit about, so you're a speaker as well. So do you have any upcoming events that you're speaking at, or are you doing any tours?
I do. We're doing a book tour. So I have a lot of events. I have, I think, about 16 on the calendar right now. And this is in-person events, a couple of radio shows, and it's going to be really fun. So I'm in California. So I'm kind of going up and down Northern and Southern California. And I'm based in San Diego. So I'm going to be appearing at just different venues around San Diego area, and then also up north in the Sonoma and Napa areas.
Nice.
So I'm really excited about that. And if anybody wants to kind of follow me and see where I'm going to be, you can join my email list, which is on my website. And then I'm going to do a better job of letting people know through the email where I'm going to be appearing and how I'm doing with my book tour and the book sales and all of that. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. I feel that this book, Voices of the 21st Century, Women Empowered Through Passion and Purpose, I feel so proud to share the messages of not only my own story, but the other 44 authors in it. And it's very bite-sized. It's very digestible. And so when people purchase the book and then distribute them as gifts, right, to their members. So I think it's just such a widely popular, if you could say that, popular message to be sharing these authentic stories, true stories with any woman. And again, men too will be interested in getting to know women better through these true stories. So I think it's really a great gift for anyone.
And people can, I assume they can buy it on Amazon.
Well, the interesting thing, my first book you could buy on Amazon, but this book, the one that has my name on the cover and that's personally signed by me, can only be ordered on my website.
So, oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
Could you please give your website information for us?
Yes, it's my name, lynnabatejohnson.com.
Oh, okay. And I'll put those on the show notes. I'll put your name on the show notes and a link to your website.
Just perfect.
So people can find it there. And then you also, you're a leadership coach. Well, you're a global community builder. So do you help people through that as well? And so they can work with you?
Yes. So people can work with me one-on-one or in groups through my Show Up You courses. And I have a waiting list for the next one right now. I'm also working with aspiring authors and writers, because a lot of people this last year, since the first book came out, have been coming to me on all of the different channels and saying, Lynn, I really think I have a book in me, but I don't even know where to start. So please help me. And so I love helping future authors and writers just kind of get their brain around also being a published author and even an international best-selling author, because I have learned so much and I have made so many mistakes. And over these last couple of years of writing and publishing, and oh my gosh, I'm eager to share my mistakes just as much as I'm eager to share what has worked.
And you learn from mistakes. I know I do. So
yeah, I'm all about helping authors and writers and entrepreneurs and brands and collaborative teams. I love doing that. I just love working with groups of people as well to help them just really show up in the world in a way that the world really needs us to today.
I love that. And so again, they can go to your website, lynnabatejohnson.com. That is available on the show notes, and your social media as well. It's LAJBiz, B-I-Z. That's your Instagram. You're very active on there. I love all your Instagram stories. Great stuff. And before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think there's one quote that I even just printed on my new bookmarks, and it's from Ram Dass. And the quote is, "We're all just walking each other home." Yeah. And I'm a bottom line person. Like, give me the bottom line. And I think for me, that is the bottom line, that we're all just walking each other home. So whatever it is, whatever we're going through, you know, let's talk about it. Because I think that these conversations can have an impact and a ripple effect throughout our communities and then further out into the world.
I love that. And I love that quote too by Ram Dass. It's so true.
It's a good one.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lynn, for joining me on the podcast again. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
I'm going to check out your book, and I hope everybody orders it. You can get it on the website, and I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Great. Thanks again. And we will talk again soon.
Susan, you remember the time we were in Orange County? We were driving around and we got lost, and we ran into this place called
Avila's El Ranchito.
You remember the place? The place had awesome decor and authentic margaritas.
Did you know that Avila's El Ranchito has been around since 1966? They have 13 locations throughout Orange County. Visit Salvador Avila's location in Lake Forest and Foothill Ranch for great food, ambiance, and specialty margaritas.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. Please consult a physician or other health professional before undertaking changes in lifestyle or wellness habits. The author claims no responsibility to any person or entity for any liability, loss, or damage caused or alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of the use, application, or interpretation of the information presented herein.